Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10 says this: "My friends, if anyone is caught in a transgression, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you who have received the Spirit should restore such one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens. In doing so, you will fulfill the law of Christ. But if those who are nothing think they are something, they have deceived themselves. All must test their own work, and then that work, instead of their neighbor's work, will become the cause of pride. For all must carry their own loads. Those who are taught the Word," my favorite verse in all of Scripture now, "should share all good things with the teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own sinful flesh, you will reap corruption from your own flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So, let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So, whenever we have opportunity, let us work for the good of all." Everybody say all. "But especially those of the family of faith." This is the word of the Lord. We say together, thanks be to God. This week, if you do not follow pop culture, and I don't very much, but this week was the release of the long-anticipated Season 3 of Stranger Things. Any Stranger Things fans in the congregation? Young people? How many of you have heard of it? How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Oh, there's a few. I love it. I love it. Stranger Things is a Netflix series, and when Netflix does series, or even if you watch a TV sitcom, sometimes they will end an episode in a climax moment with those words, "to be continued, dot, dot, dot." And then when you make it to the next episode, it will start with, "previously on, dot, dot, dot." Stranger Things did this at the opening of Season 3. They went back to the very start of Season 1 to tell you where things started. They went through Season 2 where things ended. And they started this way, "previously on." Now, they didn't tell you the whole story. They just told you the important things of the backstory. So, can we try and have a little fun today? A little creativity? If I had a creative team, this is what I would have done. I would have gone back and got snippets of my sermons, and there would have been a voiceover that said, "previously on Forgotten God." And there would be the high climax moments. But since you're looking at at least the sermon creative team, this is as good as you're going to get. "Previously on Forgotten God." And I'm going to try and start as if it was the recording and the climax of the moment when I said it. Ready? "The Spirit of God not only surrounds us, but lives in us." Okay, this is the image that I would use if I was replaying this. I would take a bunch of kids in the middle of summertime, place them in the kitchen with the refrigerator door open and all of the cabinet doors open of the snacks and food, and a full meal on the table with whiny, hungry kids yelling, "But there's nothing to eat!" I listen to you, parents. Some of you need a part-time summer job just to pay for your kids when they're out of school for all that they want to eat during the summertime. And yet, they will say, "There's nothing to eat." And yet, the house is full of food. Am I right? Or you could have a meal now. "I don't want that." Because it's one thing to be surrounded by food. It's another thing to receive what you're surrounded by. You see, this is what I'm trying to get us to understand about the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is present in the world. He is with us. He surrounds everyone. But what marks the difference in the life of the believer is that the Spirit of God not only surrounds us, but He lives in us. Ready? Week 2. Previously on Forgotten God. See, I don't even remember. Oh, yes. The Holy Spirit pours into us the virtues we desire to pour out into the lives of other people. This was the Father's Day sermon. Yeah, that was a pretty good week. That was fun. I got to talk to the men and just ignore everybody else. That was fun. The image that I would use of this, if I could capture it to retell the story, it would be that of a plant and a seed that you put into the ground. And you have to go get water. You have to water the seed. And so you take your bucket or whatever. I couldn't think of that this morning. What's the flowering pot with the spout? What do you call it? Watering can, that's it? I thought there was another name. Anyway, you take your watering can. You go to the hydrant. You fill it into the hydrant. Leave me alone. I'm fighting spiritual battles, people. You have no idea what it's like to be a pastor. Did you really just say, bless your heart? Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh. You take your watering can to the hydrant, and the water is poured into the can, and you take the can and you pour it onto the seed, you plant it in the ground, and my image would be of a seed beginning to sprout, and I would end it with the beauty of it. Because our lives are like that watering can. We have to be connected to God so that God pours His Spirit into us, and then we pour that Spirit out into the lives of people that are around us. Understand where we pour it. We often pour it into dirt where there's no sign of life. Where all of the things that we desire to be in their lives seems to be absent, and we're so quick to give up. But what God is saying, you have to keep pouring yourself out. But I get tired. Yeah, because you have to keep being poured into. That's why we gather every 7 days. That's why I wish sometimes we gathered more often, because I needed it about every day, not every seven. I wait every seven, I'm in trouble. Man, people pull from me. That's what happens when you care for people. You have to be connected so that He pours into us so that we pour out. Okay, I'm not preaching that over. Keep moving. Week 3, previously on Forgotten God. The Holy Spirit clothes us with power to live according to a promise. That's probably my favorite thing I could preach, and I could preach it over and over again, is that if we could learn to live life by a promise, God can do some amazing things through a promise. But it's so difficult in the midst of waiting on a promise to be fulfilled to live as if it's already happened. So that's why the Holy Spirit comes and He says, I got you covered. The image that I would use for this is I would find somebody who never buys new clothes. You know what I'm talking about? And they think that their ragged t-shirt is still good, that's 30 years old. It's not that they can't afford it, it's that they want to keep it on. And their jeans are starting to fade and they have little rips in them, not because they were made that way, but because you've worn them out. The hard American way. That's right. You don't pay for them. You work for them. And I would send them on a shopping spree to buy all new clothes at the expense of someone else, a whole new wardrobe, so that when they are radiating, people would say, what is different about you? And they would say, something has changed inside of me. A great gift has been given to me and I am different because of it. This is the Holy Spirit. He's a great gift that's given. In fact, the Bible says that we'll receive the Holy Spirit if we simply ask. For if we ask the Father, He will give Him to us. We receive Him and the gift we receive changes because there's something different about us. That's week 3. Week 4, last week, previously on Forgotten God, who leads our life will be reflected in what follows our life. If I could have an image for this scene, it would be ducks and their ducklings. Have you ever had to stop in the middle of a road because a duck is crossing? And not just the duck, but all of the ducklings. Now, the duck, I would call holy. There'd be the name on it. And then I would have at least 8 little ducklings. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not limited to 8, but at least 8. And I would name each one starting with love. Goodness, gentleness, patience, kindness, self-control, goodness. Just go right on down the list. Do you see the image? Because when the Spirit of God leads our life, this is the fruit that naturally follows our life. This is His fruit, not ours. Everybody wants the ducklings to follow. But the only way to get the fruit of the Spirit is to have the Spirit lead. Either He will lead or I will lead. It's our choice. Now, I know that now that we have caught up on previously on Forgotten God, we come to that moment of great anticipation of where the show's going to go from here. Now, I know that you are greatly anticipating the rest of my sermon more than the teenagers greatly anticipated Stranger Things 3, which, by the way, if anybody spoils it, I'm just 2 episodes in. Do not spoil it. I'm not even going to look over there. I know that you're greatly anticipated with where we're going to go from here. Here's what I think Paul would say. If I could summarize anything and everything about the Holy Spirit, it might be this way. I've taught enough about Him. I think Paul would say, you choose. You choose your ending. Did you hear the words echoing? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We will reap whatever we sow. If we sow to our own sinful flesh, that's what we'll reap. If we sow to the Spirit, that's what we'll reap. The sowing is our responsibility, and the reaping is God's. Choice is yours. The ball is in your court. What are you going to do with Him now? Which, by the way, not to scare you, you can ignore my sermons as much as you want to try. My only job is to sow them. I can't determine what anybody does with the seeds. Which, by the way, I know when the seed is getting big and heavy because everybody's got to use the restroom and get more coffee. I'm not blind. I know these things. I just keep on sowing. What I'm saying is, today will be the day of accountability. Given all that I can give on the Holy Spirit, the choice will come down to us. I can only account for my response to Him, and you can only account to your response to Him. But it doesn't mean I'm not responsible for you and that you're not responsible for me. Now, if you check out of the sermon because I ticked you off with that last comment, that's good enough. That's where I'm going with this. At the end of 2018, Netflix released a movie that was based on a storyline of a young man who was working to develop a story where you could choose your own ending. The name of that is Black Mirror. I've not watched it. I'm not endorsing it. But he was working on a game adaptation where you choose your own adventure. CYOA is the short for it. What I didn't realize is that they actually used to make books this way. There is a book series about CYOA where you would read to a certain point and then you get to choose the ending. So if you would, and I'm just going to make this up, if you would walk through the door, skip to page 41. If you would walk away, skip to page 61. And so literally you get to choose your own ending. Now, it works better, in my little bit of reading, it works better with books than it does with movies because you can't quite simulate it all. Because I think we like this thought. We want to be in control of our own life, so I'm trying to empower you by reminding you the choice is yours. We like that. The problem, of course, with choices is that we always want good consequences. So we often will make our choices based on the outcome, and so long as the outcome will be good or the way we want it to be, we will make our choices accordingly. And so I think that we'll always choose our own ending to the story so long as we know the way it's going to end. And the nice thing about a book is that if you're reading the book and the ending isn't the way you want it, just go back to the first choice and start choosing again. Right? What happens in our walk of faith when we choose to do good and good is not returned to us? See, then all of a sudden you look at me and think, preacher, what you're talking about is a scam. It doesn't work. May I remind you of the cross of Jesus Christ. May we be reminded that what looked like evil, that what looked like darkness, Jesus was accomplishing a great purpose in. That He had done good for all people, and yet good was not returned to Him, but it was in the midst of evil that God brought about the saving of many lives. In other words, He didn't like the way our story was going to end, and so He changed it. He changed the direction and the outcome, and so that the choice can be ours, because we will reap whatever we sow. Now, I debated on where to move at this point in the sermon. I don't have to spend much time here. Help me out. About what happens when we reap to our own flesh. Do I need to spend any time here? All right. We can watch the news, read the papers. Shh, don't tell anybody. We can recap some of the things we did this week. I'm trying to make eye contact with all of you just so you know. We're all, keep that at bay. Like, we know what happens. So what I want to do is make a compelling case for choosing the Holy Spirit. Can I try and do that? There's no order to this thing. I just started writing. When I read the Scriptures of what the Spirit does, the Spirit creates. Genesis chapter 1 and 2. So when we reap to the Spirit, or sow to the Spirit, guess what will be reaped in our life? Creation. Stay with me. Genesis 1 and 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, and when God began to speak, guess what? The Holy Spirit was dispatched to accomplish the word that was spoken. Exhalio, create something out of nothing. Guess what? When we sow to the Spirit, here's what the Spirit does in our life. He will reap something out of nothing. You see, some of us are in situations where there's a whole lot of something, it just ain't any good. Can I remind us that if God is able by His Spirit to create something out of nothing, He can create something out of a mess. That's more to work with than what He started in creation. And He ended with a good, perfect creation, so I think He can start with our mess and create something out of it. I'm just getting warmed up. When we sow to the Spirit, new things will be birthed out of our life because of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit resurrects things. Romans 8 says that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, He's living in us. Oh yeah. There are times that we feel like there is no hope. We feel like it is a dead end. We feel like there is a train coming in our other direction. That it's not light at the end of the tunnel. It's something that's coming to destroy us. And God says when we sow to the Spirit, what we will reap is resurrection power. That means that there is nothing we face we can't accomplish with His help. He is with us, and so whatever comes against us, He's already conquered. When we sow to the Spirit will reap gifts into our life, for the Spirit of God gives each one a different gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God has gifted you. God has gifted you. You have gifts that both might be natural, that you were born with, but also gifts that are supernatural, that He gives to us for the very purpose of serving God. Other people. And guess what? The greatest fulfillment in life is not by using our gifts for our good, because we'll end up lonely and depressed and feeling lousy about ourselves. But God created us to serve other people, and in doing so, we get the greatest fulfillment in life. This is why we all have work that fulfills us. The best jobs are the ones that pay you to do it. And sometimes you get paid to do a job you hate and you volunteer to do a job that fulfills, because it's out of a gifting that God, that the Spirit gives. So sow to the Spirit and He'll give you gifts to accomplish and fulfill you. The Spirit of God anoints. Jesus said that the Spirit of God has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. That's an old-fashioned word, isn't it? Anointing. Some may not even know what I'm talking about. I can't describe it for you. I just know when it happens. There is a different kind of power. There's a different kind of perspective. I know why Moses had to take off his shoes, for he was standing on holy ground, for the anointing of God fell. Listen, when God calls us to do something, He anoints us. He empowers us. He gives us the strength to do it. So sow to the Spirit, for we will reap the anointing of the Spirit. The Spirit of God moves. He blows. One of the analogies in Scripture is that the Spirit of God is the wind. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going. We just see the evidence. Well, you know, when the Israelites were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and the sea was in front of them and the Egyptians were behind them, is that Moses reached out his staff, and guess what? A wind blew all night long. Now, I don't think that was just any ordinary wind. I've never seen wind be able to pile up a sea on each side. There's only one kind of wind that can blow that way, and His name is the Holy Spirit. I just want to remind us that when we sow to the Spirit, we will reap a Spirit who can make a way when there seems to be no way. When there are no answers, He's already got them. When there seems to be not enough money, He already knows how He's going to provide. When there's something that catches us off guard, He already has the way planned. We just have to wait and give Him time to blow, because He is moving. So we sow to the Spirit, so we can reap from the Spirit. He gives new birth. John says, Jesus said to Nicodemus in the Gospel of John, He said that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. We become new creation. It doesn't matter our past. It doesn't matter what we thought the past 30 seconds, when we are surrendered to the will of God and to His Holy Spirit. Because He deals with what we cannot deal with. He conquers what we cannot overcome. And He says, I will bring about a brand new person in you that you won't even be able to recognize. So we sow to the Spirit, so that we can reap from the Spirit. The Spirit of God, He speaks. Jesus told His disciples, you'll be handed over, and don't worry about what you'll say. You'll know what to say, for the Spirit will speak for you. Do you ever not know what to say? Every Sunday. Anybody ever come to you with news and you just don't know what to say? We sow to the Spirit so that we can reap from the Spirit. And sometimes, by the way, the best thing to say is nothing at all. But a lot of times, I think in the church we're too soft. Sometimes the Spirit of God is calling us directly to speak and to deal with an issue that we refuse to. Because sometimes we have to say what no one else in their life will say, because no one else loves them with an eternal love the way that we do. No one else is concerned about where they'll be 500 years from now. They're only worried about keeping peace with everybody. Who cares about peace when there's things that have to be dealt with? All right, move on. So we sow to the Spirit, so the Spirit speaks. I don't have time to go through all these. Let me just give them to you. The Spirit unites. There's equality among all people. The Spirit sends us on mission, for we'll receive power to be His witnesses. The Spirit convicts in concerns of sin and righteousness. The Spirit guides when we don't know the direction. The Spirit intercedes when we don't know how to pray. The Spirit confirms and testifies when we doubt who we are and where we are and what we're doing. The Spirit discerns for us. Do you ever not know what to do and think, is this the truth or is that the truth? I don't know what the truth is, because the Spirit of God discerns and He tells us what is true and what isn't true. That's 1 John chapter 4. The Spirit teaches us new things and also reminds us of what Jesus taught. The Spirit abides. He lives in our bodies, so we honor God with our bodies. The Spirit enables, for He will give us a new spirit that will enable us to follow all of His commands. The Spirit differentiates, for Caleb was given a different spirit and he inherited the promised land when no one else was, only because of His Spirit. You look bored, but I'm not. The Spirit accomplishes. Zechariah says, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. There's a few that know the word. The Spirit overcomes. Mary asks, how will this be? How can I become pregnant and yet I'm a virgin? And the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come and overshadow you. The Holy Spirit overcomes the impossible in our life. I don't have time to preach it because I'm already long on this section. The Spirit baptizes. You'll be just as John baptized with water. You'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose of water? To cleanse outwardly. Only the Holy Spirit can cleanse inwardly. So we sow to the Spirit to reap from the Spirit. The Spirit of God seals it all. It seals it all so that nothing can get in and nothing can leak out. The Spirit of God guarantees us like a deposit of what is to come. Some of you will catch up on the list later this week. I know you will. If I could summarize it, here's what it is. The Spirit gives life. I'm moving towards a close. I'm going to close in 4 minutes. When my watch hits 11 o'clock, I'm going to be done. I got a lot to do between now and then. Let me try and bring it down. Not because of I don't think that it's hard to understand, but something you can hold on to, tangible. So I was trying to, Sarah, when I'm wrestling through my sermons, often gets the brunt of my discussion of trying to help figure it out. And she helped me with a good illustration yesterday. Think of the Spirit this way as one of those automatic air fresheners. Do you have these in your house where they will scare the tarnations out of you if you don't know they're there? It's real quiet and all of a sudden, now you know the sound. But she was telling me that sometimes she will have a full canister in the air freshener, but it will never give off life because the battery is low. So you have to have the right source to be able to give off the right amount. And then, of course, there's other times what you already know is that sometimes the batteries are good, there's connected, but the canister, the air freshener, is empty. There's nothing to give off because we're empty. So the perfect scenario is when it's connected to the source and it's full. But the purpose of a freshener is not to be full and keep it to itself. The purpose of the freshener is to give off what's inside of it. And there's no distinguishing then of who's in the room. You might, now I know you don't hate anybody, but it could be an enemy and your carnal flesh hates their guts. That air freshener goes off, you're going to smell it just like they will. And don't we want a freshener that would smell really bad for them and smell really good for us? Hey, there's an invention. Just send your tithe when you invent it. Got it? I think some of us are like air fresheners that don't always work. I think what's happening in the church is that you come to church every week and thank you for coming. And we get full. But we're not connected enough throughout the week to give off what we're full of. Because the truth is, and I do believe this to be true, I'm just pushing a little bit. The truth is, our homes should look differently than people who do not believe. Because our homes should be full of life. Our workplaces, regardless of what anybody else does or believes, should be differently because we have life and we give it off. Now, I know, it doesn't look like your life is making any difference. It is. That's why Paul says, don't grow weary. Keep doing what is right. Because sometimes what's doing what's right is like a seed in the ground. It's invisible for a really long time before it ever sprouts and gives life. I think others of us are low. So we're connected to the church family. Church is a place we go. And you're just enduring the sermon right now. And the truth is, that's probably how it is every week. Church is an event. Heard about it. But the Spirit has never gotten deep down inside of us. And so I just look like some lunatic up here when I get all fired up. I don't really care. My job is to point us to God. But I think the goal of all of this is so that we're connected to one another and we get full. So that when we're connected, guess what? It gets poured out to other people. We do what's right and good, especially for those of the family of faith, but that is not a disclaimer. We work for the good of all. Which, by the way, I'm just going to put a little footnote right here because I'm about done. Next week, I'm going to talk about some of those all people. We've talked about the forgotten God. And next week I'm going to spend a single sermon talking about some of the forgotten people in our society. Understand, we work for the good of those here. But also understand, we work for the good of soil that is as hard as clay. That there's no sign of life. And we just slowly keep pouring out life. We slowly work the ground. We slowly deal with the weeds. We slowly fertilize. We just slowly work diligently and faithfully because we know that it's coming. Now, I don't have time because I said I was going to be done. In your sermon discussion guide, you have three things. Restore, responsibility, and reap. We have to restore people. So the idea here is that whenever we see the potential for someone that is reaping to the flesh, it is not a disqualifier from salvation. It's saying, ooh, I see a seed that could lead to something down the road. So we deal with it way back here before it ever comes to fruit. That's what it's all about. But understand, there's some responsibility. We carry one another's burdens, but don't be a freeloader. We carry our burdens too. Don't get so spiritual that when we see other people's problems, we go home and think, I'm going to pray for them because I sure don't deal with that. Oh, no, no. Everybody's work in life has to be tested. So, restore, responsibility, and reap. There is work that comes with reaping. There's work that comes with it. But we don't give up. Because the Spirit is reaping in response to what we're sowing. I was trying to understand all of this, and here's where I came to. The Spirit is the soil into which we sow. In other words, the Spirit is where we cast all of our burdens, we cast all of our problems, we cast all of our life and say, this is the best I have, here it is. Here's how I want to close today. I want to close two ways. Terry, would you go ahead and come? We'll close with our offering in just a minute, but before we get that, two questions. First is this. Have you ever prayed to receive the Holy Spirit? Because if you haven't, I hope that I've made a compelling enough case today that you want to receive Him. And all you have to do is ask. Repent and we will receive the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I want to ask is, are there people in your life and in mine that you would say, I know they're sowing to the flesh. I know they're reaping the corruption that comes. And I want to be the life that sows into them. And you can't do it. I can't do it. We get tired, we get weary, we want to give up because we don't see signs of it turning. It's the Spirit's responsibility, not ours. We sow, the Spirit works. If you want to pray and receive the Holy Spirit, come to this altar today. If you have people that you want to pray that the Spirit would work in their life, come to this altar. Ask our ushers to come. We give today in response to what has been given to us through the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll close. Father in heaven, bless the words that needed to be spoken. Erase the ones that didn't need to be said but were. Lord, we want to receive You today, whether for the first time or to be reminded of it again. And Lord, because of all You've given us, we give back to You through our tithes and offerings. We sow into the Spirit, asking that You would use it much further beyond what we could spend it on.